You are the best this world has to offer. No wonder it has fallen to ruin.
Five, four, three, two, one.
Hello and welcome to Ready Check, episode 6, the podcast where we're the noobs so you don't have to be. This week we're covering the latest nerfs in Throne of Thunder, including a Durimu hotfix, which was quite fun, healing changes, and other little bits and pieces, including Mod of the Week, Race to World First, and discussing guild issues for the casual core raiders such as ourselves. My name is Relic, I play a Blood DK on Ghostlands EU and the casual core raiding guild Harvest Moon, and joining me are two players, I suppose. One being the holy paladin himself, Tommen. Hello, mate, how you doing?
Hi. Hello, you got my name right, this is brilliant.
Yeah.
I love not having Flaps introducing me, it's great.
That's because I'm a professional. And also joining me and Tommen is the Disc Priest extraordinaire, Flaps. Hello, Flaps.
Hello! And it is Tommen.
I don't know if you've noticed, but one of our friends on Twitter, Rioriel, has started an amazing campaign. Hashtag say no man to toe man. Best thing ever.
I thought that was kind of like an anti toe man hashtag.
Oh, no. It's a for Tommen hashtag.
Are you sure?
I don't know now.
I think I'm going to be.
You might just hate me.
I think I'm going to start a few hashtags this week. It's definitely with an E.
Yeah. Okay, so, Flaps, what have you been up to this week in the World of Warcraft, buddy?
Well, it's funny you should ask. I have created a new character, a hunter, and its name is the best name you could ever imagine for a hunter.
No, it's not.
No,
it's not.
It is.
No,
it is. It is the best name
Tell me you
ever.
Didn't. Tell me you didn't.
Yep, so my hunter uses a bow, and I've got the name... Bowyer!
Oh, crap.
Oh, no.
All my pets. Bowyer! In capital. It's brilliant. It's the most fun I've had in WoW for a long time. Go, man. My pet running by my side. Just Bowyering stuff. I'm half tempted to actually make a macro as well. Whenever I use Kill Shot, I'm thinking I'm going to put up in Yell, Bowyer.
Have you had anyone comment yet on...
just talking to you.
Have you had anyone comment yet on all your pets being called Bowyer and you being called Bowyer?
Not yet, actually. No, I look forward to the first comment. But that's number one. That's news number one for me this week. The second bit, which is another fantastic bit of news. So I think we spoke before about the Bridge of Doom in TOT. So the trash you go to from Jinrock to Horridon. And I was trying to kill Mel, basically trying to pull him into one of the blue beams or try and pull him off the bridge. Now,
I
haven't got Melgrim, okay? So, I've actually done one better, in my opinion. And this is... brilliant. I managed to life grip Toman off the bridge. I survived, he died, it was beautiful.
Yeah, I've got no defence at all. It was terrible. I felt so ashamed.
And you did try and do me as well, but you just gripped me to an opposite side of the bridge, so it was just annoying.
Yeah, I think it does get a bit annoying, but, you know, I've got Toman, and my life's complete, guys.
Okay, Tommen, what about you, mate?
Well, I have been mainly hiding in shame, having been life gripped off of the bridge.
Yeah, woo!
Mm-hmm. No, this week I've been finishing off on all of my recruit friend characters. So I now have a level 80 hunter, warrior, DK, mage, shaman, and priest, which has been pretty mental.
Wow.
So it's been a good week.
Cool, and then you get to take them all through Cataclysm.
No. I'll pick one. And I'll use that one. I don't know which one yet. Probably the warrior.
No, you got to take the DK all the way through as well.
Yeah, I tried. But because with my DK I granted a load of levels, I'm now level 80 in all of the starter gear. So I'm just getting completely destroyed wherever I go, which is great fun.
We can sort you out with some stuff on that. You'll be fine. So that's all you got to report. You haven't been doing much else except leveling alt, from what I can see.
No. So yeah, other than raiding and what kind of jazz?
It's falling off bridges.
For me, it's. I think I spoke last time about trying to get my shaman geared up. She's 470 eye level now, so into Heart of Fear finally. That's not too going too great. Oh, I've gotten two chess pieces so far in one run.
Nice.
Which wasn't very helpful. One's a spirit crit one, one's a spirit mastery, so it was a matter of which one do I want. So I'll keep one for elemental. Not that I enjoy elemental, and one for healing. My wife's been on early shifts this week, so I've been getting up at 4:45 with her. And can I just say that if you're looking to run five mans that are done in 10 or 12 minutes, you want to do it at 6 in the morning. Because you're getting people coming in who are obviously just want to get their daily out of the way before they go to work, and so they don't piss about. We had a warlock that was doing 150k DPS throughout the entire place, and we burnt through Siege in, I think, 8 or 10 minutes one morning. And yeah, it's amazing. It's the perfect time to do five mans. Because you don't have the kids. You just got people who don't want to screw up.
Insomniacs.
Yeah. So it was really cool. And yeah, other than that, it's just been raiding. Same old, same old. I went dinosaur hunting. I've got a bunch of alts exalted with things. As I said last week, I've got two dinosaur mounts now.
Okay, I think that brings us on to the news section there. So we got a couple of healing changes, certainly, that are going through this week. Now, we have been criticised. We've got some criticism on the show from my other half that we don't talk about DPS enough. Dun, dun, dun.
Get her on the show. Bring her on the show.
Well, I'm trying to get her on the show. She criticises, but then she won't actually join us on the show. Bad form. she's pulling lots of faces behind me. But these healing changes, we've got... So one of the main changes that have come up on the Blue Notes this week, healing spells that automatically select targets will now all prefer player targets with the lowest health. I thought they did already discuss.
Some of them do.
Yeah, some of them.
Okay. So I know Atonement for Dispriests, that I believe does that, and so does the damaging ability for monks as well, when you're healing through hit and stuff. So... Is this? Do you know what classes this affected specifically, or is it maybe just a polished version of it? So it maybe it wasn't working correctly.
Yeah, I think it's mainly just to standardise a little bit more. I don't know who this is going to affect and who it's not going to affect. I know that as a paladin, I don't actually have any spells, I don't think, that automatically select targets other than stuff like. Light of Dawn, which only affects 4 or 6 players, depending on whether it's glyphed or not. So maybe that will only affect targets with lowest health now. In which case, that's a pretty good change.
I suppose it's a good point actually. Spells like that and Wild Growth for Druids, because it is quite random, isn't it?
You know, Chain Heal and stuff like that. I think would be pretty good for that.
Okay, and the other big change that we've seen as well. Players with full health no longer count towards the cap for area of effect, healing, abilities, and spells. Again, I'm not too sure what spells that's going to be really affecting.
It'll be things like Spirit Link and stuff like that that have a certain amount of healing they can do.
Okay, yeah.
I would think.
Well, yeah. Not really Spirit Link, but like things like Holy Radiance, yeah. So, I mean, a lot of the times in high damage phases, I blanket the entire raid in Holy Radiance, so I'll do a rotation which will be Holy Radiance, Holy Shock, Light of Dawn, normally, or a variation of. And what that means is that while I'm spamming Holy Radiance and it's affecting a whole load of people, even people that are full health are... being affected by the heal, and therefore that's taking away from the available cap of heals that it can go up to, because obviously if you didn't have a cap then you just do insane healing, so they have to have a cap. But what this change does is basically mean that if anybody is full health then you can use that extra sort of healing that would have been lost before on other characters, which is pretty good.
Yeah, makes sense. So there's two pretty good bits of news for healers, I should imagine, then. Moving on with the fixes. So there's been a lot come out this week for TOT. An awful lot. I don't think we're going to be able to discuss all these in a great length, but certainly touch on some of them. One of the main ones, of course, is the maze for Dememu, or Defemu. The purple maze. They've actually made it a lot easier to see. Have you guys done this since the nerf?
No.
Nope. Yourself, Timmy? Okay. So I did it the other day, and whereas, you know, I've survived every time, but we used to get to the point where every single time, you can guarantee you've lost probably 10, 15 players. This particular time, after the nerf came out, we actually went through, and I think we had about 20 players up, so only 5 people died, and it's probably safe to assume they were AFK, who's LFR after all. So yeah, it's a lot easier, and it's a lot better to see, and I certainly never dropped any of my graphic settings for that fight. But yeah, it does seem a lot nicer and easier, really. We've also seen a couple of nerfs as well to some of the bosses in TOT. So I think Jinrock, when we came into the game, it was quite an easy fight. So I think most guilds went in there and they managed the tactics and stuff. And it wasn't too bad. And I think we found a lot of people getting stuck on Horrodon.
Yeah.
An awful lot of people, and I think Blizzard have actually seen that, and one of the things they've done is they've decreased the amount of health points the adds spawn with. Was it 15%? Is that a number we're making up?
No, 15%.
No, that's right. It's for the big elites. They've got 15% less health.
Yeah, so it helps a lot. I don't want to go too much into our run or what we've done this week yet, but it certainly helped us out a lot, to be fair. The other one is the council changes. Now, again, if I remember off the top of my head, this is the one where they don't gain the dark powers quick, is that right?
Yeah, that's right. Yep. And also the another two smaller changes as well, is that the Frosking Malak deals less damage with each stack of Frostbite, and also Saul the Sandcrawler deals less damage with Sandbolt. I mean, obviously there's a hell of a lot going on in that fight anyway, so it kind of just makes things a little bit easier to manage on top of all of the extra damage that's coming around.
It is one hell of a cluster. It's summable.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so let's just go through some of the other changes that we've also got in here as well. So, there's so many. So the Council of Elders, so we just touched on those ones. Also got the changes to Primordius.
Yep, that's a health pool change, but only for 10 and 25 player heroic.
Okay, so that's not going to affect the normal runs at all then. And also Tortoise has also seen a bit of a nerf as well. So the World Turtles have a reduced base movement in 10 player normal. Is that going to affect LFR as well? I presume it will.
I don't think so. Okay. I think if it was also 25 player normal, then it would probably affect LFR. But because it only explicitly says 10 player normal, I think that's probably just the only mode it affects. I'm not sure. I haven't actually seen it since the hotfix has gone in on LFR.
Yeah.
I guess if you've done it, then maybe you noticed that ever so slightly different. I don't know.
No, I didn't notice any difference. But it's LFR, so I was probably watching a film at the same time. I just sit there and literally my button for smite is 1, and I'll watch a film and just keep pressing 1. There's been times when the boss is dead and I'm still pressing 1. The life of a disc healer. Also on that fight as well, the vampiric cave bats now deal less damage in 10 player normal as well. So yeah, it's good news for anybody who's coming up to that content. You're going to see a couple of nerfs, which should make it quite a bit easier to go through that now. Let's have a quick look. What else we got?
Garrulon. Big change to Garrulon. So basically, Garrulon had a really tight enrage timer. It was, 6 minutes? And then it got increased to 7 minutes, which was still pretty tight anyway. So when we were doing it, back when it was current, we struggled. I mean, we had a few, 0.5%, 1% wipes over a whole number of nights. Now, obviously, everyone's going to be outgearing that if they're, like us, going through TOT, but there are going to be some guilds that are just doing it for the first time who maybe haven't caught up properly yet. So they've increased the enrage time now to 12 minutes, a full 12 minutes, which is nearly double, which means that that's... You could kind of get by with like 3 DPS. It's a bit ridiculous. So yeah, I mean, I don't know how I feel about that. It is a big nerf, but then it's not current content, so I guess it doesn't affect anything really.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's for those guilds that, like you say, are not at the level that we're playing at, which isn't a great level anyway. But because Garrulon, just like Elegon, is the roadblock in Heart of Fear. So, you know, it's good that they changed this for non-current content, just to let those guilds who are trying to work through that get past it.
Yeah. I agree, yeah.
And equally, I mean, that was the base mechanic, because everything else in Garrulon, I mean, I'm only speaking from our own experiences, but everything else was really, really easy to get in terms of, you know, swapping the poison around and avoiding the stuff on the floor. It was an easy fight. So the hard thing for me was the enraged timer. So I struggle really to see how that fight's gonna be, you know, even remotely difficult with 12 minute enraged timer.
Yeah, I think they're going for the edge there. They don't want these instances to be hard anymore, do they? If people want to clear the content in Heart of Fear, they can go in there now. If a guild wants a challenge, they can go into TOT. So I think I really like what Blizzard do in the sense to this. It probably does annoy a few guilds out there who perhaps had Garrulon to, like, you know, the final few percent before this nerf came out, and now they're never going to be able to try it on the normal mode. But, you know, I still think it's a fantastic way for getting everyone through content and to gear up alts quicker as well. Because obviously, yeah, the quicker you gear up alts, it might be that you've already cleared that content, but you're leveling up a tank to help your guild out, for instance. You've got 3 tanks. Sound familiar? The 2 of those can't make 1 week, so you're trying to level up an alt to help out with that. You know, it's easier to get gear, get up to the item level for TOT, and get experience with tanking as well. So yeah, I mean, that's another good change, really.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's about all of the news, actually. A very fast pace this week. Yeah. I mean, the blue notes, the blue posts are coming out very fast at the moment. Just out of interest, actually, have you guys heard anything else about when the latest wing or the last wing of TOT LFR is going to be released? I'm not sure.
Weren't they being spaced out every 2 weeks?
It's every 2 weeks still, is it?
I think so.
I think that rings a bell. Yeah, I'm not 100% sure, but that makes sense to me. So we should see the last 3 next week.
I'm quite excited, I have to say. Although probably not for the constant wipes that we're going to get when we first go in.
I might have to finish the other wing first.
You haven't done it.
I've done subtle LFR.
That is slack.
Yeah. I think I'm going to hit it up tonight. We'll see.
Yeah, to be fair, I need to take my monk for him, so if you guys do want to do it after the show tonight, we can do that. But, okay, well, that just about sums up or wraps up the news section. So next we move on to the We Gone Die section.
We Gone Die!
So, this week, our 10-man team, the Harvest Moon 10-man team, went into a TOT for another night of fun. And as usual, we one-shot Jinrock, if I'm correctly.
Mm-hmm.
And we then moved on to face an enemy that we've been facing for the last couple of weeks. And I'm not going to take this one. I'm going to pass this over to the raid leader who took us on this fight. How'd it go, Toman?
Yeah, it went... Well, spoiler alert, it went really well. And we killed Horridon, which was brilliant. So we struggled a little bit, simply because other attempts, and also at the start of this week, we kind of struggled to handle the adds properly. So specifically on the poison phase, the Venom Priests and the Effusions were just casting far too many poison bolt volleys, which basically meant that the healers were spending all of their time dispelling, and also there was an awful lot of poison all over the floor as well. So we needed to tighten up quite a lot on that, and we did all the way through the night. So by the end, we managed to do the entire phase without getting a single poison bolt, which was brilliant. So for us, the entire fight was about learning how to deal with the adds on all of the different phases. On our first attempt, I think, we got through to door number 3, which is the disease door. And then we just worked from there. We got through to door number 4, and then eventually we got Horridan up, and then we had a really, really, really heartbreaking 0.2% wipe, where I was the last person up just trying to bubble, but it wasn't back off cooldown yet, so I died and was derided horribly by the entire rest of the guild, so that was good fun.
What DPS?
Yeah. I think it was like 300k health left. It was ridiculous. It had just been, you know, yeah, too friggin'...
0.2%, anyway, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, let me have let me talk quickly about the tactics that we use for all of the doors, I guess. That probably makes sense. So, on door number 1, which is the magic door, that was really straightforward. We had plenty of people that could dispel it. We had a priest, a paladin healer, and we had another paladin DPS, and we had a shaman as well. So, between all of us, the dispels were really, really good. The adds were taken care of really quickly. And then we just did a tank swap and moved to door number 2.
Sorry, I'm just going to interrupt you there. You forgot to mention I used Master Spell.
I think once. Was it once?
It was once. It was once. But I still used it.
Yeah.
He's got a macro to smite now.
Yeah. It was great. And you know, he whispered me constantly for about 10 minutes afterwards saying, I used it, I used it, I used it. You've got to tell everyone I used it. Please tell the guild I used it. And so I did. And that was the last I ever saw of that. Anyway, so door number 2, which was the poison door, our main tactic for that one was to make sure that we had all of the adds interrupted, all the big adds. So the way that we did it is we assigned somebody to the first one who would mark it with a skull, and then they'd just sit on that and interrupt it, and all of the rest of the DPS would DPS it down as well. And then we had a second person taking the second Venom Priest, and then we had one other person who was running around trying to blow up the effusions as quickly as possible. And the way that it kind of worked is that by the time the first ad, the skull, was dead, that's when we'd get our third Venom Priest, at which point they could just switch to that one and keep it interrupted. So with 3 dedicated DPSs and the other guys just, you know, wailing in on whatever was marked, we managed to do that entire door without a single poison bolt going out, which is brilliant. Door number 3 was the disease door. And that's the one with the frozen orbs that come out from the warlords. And that was pretty tough, really, because what would happen is we would all kind of group up by the door, and then a whole bunch of orbs would come up, and we'd all end up just dropping. So the way that we managed that one is we waited for the first warlord to come up, and then as soon as he started dropping his orbs, we'd get everybody to start kiting towards the cursed door number 4. And the way that worked is it basically just meant that we could... avoid those orbs and still get a whole load of DPS on the adds because we're all kind of sticking together. Really good thing about that phase is getting your ranged guys to just stand well away, because obviously then it's a lot easier for them to avoid stuff. And also the dispelling, we needed to get a lot of help from the DPSs for that phase as well, because the diseases still do quite a lot of damage. The fourth door was the cursed door. And we only had 2 people, I think, that could decurse. So that made it quite difficult. But we stacked up on that door, got all the adds down as quickly as we possibly could, making sure to kill the bears first. And then as soon as the lightning titans came up and the adds were more or less dead, we'd move Horridan into the middle. And then at that point, it's a kill, basically. So as soon as we saw that for the second time, as soon as we got to that phase for the second time, it went down. And we ended up killing it with everybody alive, healers, plenty of mana, so it was a pretty good kill in the end.
I think, to be honest, I was a bit surprised when we got to that last phase. It felt like a really easy fight.
No.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the tanks were taking a hell of a lot of damage. I mean, it seemed as though the triple puncture was just... Obviously, when he gets his berserk or rampage, I think it is, whatever it's called, and turns big and red and ugly, that's when the tanks start taking a hell of a lot of damage. So we were having to swap at like 3 stacks, just because at that point the tank's losing half his health every single hit. So yeah, I mean it was pretty tough. We had a lot of coordinating of cooldowns to do, but yeah, I mean because it's so straightforward in terms of execution, at that point it's just, you know, avoiding the tail swipe and the frontal cone and going to town, so...
Yeah, I will say for that final phase that doing all these Zandalari Warbringers over the last couple of weeks, that do 100k melee swings and having, you know, training myself to use my cooldowns properly for those again, that final phase, that really came to pay because I was taking a shitload of damage. I know Severity, our other DK tank. I'm not sure if we could have done that night without one DK tank. Because, I mean, the self-heals that we had to throw out, as well as the cooldowns and what you guys were putting out, you know, that's my... maybe it's my pro-DK bias, but I'm not sure if we could have managed it, but it was...
But you're not overpowered, right?
No, so that's fine. We need a buff, actually, because it was quite tough. But leading up to that, it is really just... For the tanks, it's not a great deal to worry about, other than we had a complexity by... Tom and yourself and Sorkin's bubbling the tank to drop off their debuff and us having to click that off. And that was the added complexity for the first few phases. Otherwise, it's fine. It's just a standard tank swap. But that final phase is just, it was mental for a
so
tank.
The reason that we were doing the bubbling is to make it a bit easier for the DPS. So what was happening before was as soon as the boss would charge one of the doors, that's when we would do a tank swap. At which point, obviously, you've got one tank who's taking the boss and all of the adds that they were tanking before, and the other tank is kind of running around just trying to taunt stuff off of the one tank. So we figured it would be a lot easier if we just kept the boss separate and had everybody focus on killing the adds, which were also separate on a tank. So the way that we did that is once the boss had charged a door, we just got the same tank to pick it up again. Instead of doing a tank swap, we just kept it so that the other tank would just have all of the adds, and as soon as they were dead, he'd then taunt the boss, at which point myself or Sorkins would bubble the boss tank, the guy that was originally tanking the boss, to clear all his triple puncture stacks. It worked quite well. I mean, unfortunately, our tanks they're not very good, so they weren't very good at picking off debuffs, which I personally, I don't think it's really hard, but apparently that's a big deal.
Screw you, we did it fine.
I think Sev, Katie, our second DK, I think she did it fine, didn't she? I didn't see any problems there.
Yeah, I mean, one of our DKs...
Can I just compliment our rep paladin Sorkins on when he had the bubble me and he very kindly bubbled himself instead? I thought that was amazing.
Yeah, that was brilliant. I was like, his stacks haven't dropped off. His stacks haven't dropped off. Why are you all shiny?
It was just the fact that on Mumble, he shouted out, "It's not working, it's not working." And I just saw this character in front of me hitting the boss, glowing. May have used that yourself there. Good work. But he did, I think he came third, top dispels, didn't he, for that fight?
Yeah, he was a machine. And he was marking all of the ads as well. Every single ad that came down, he marked.
Yeah.
Absolute machine, that guy.
Fair show. Yeah, so we were feeling good at this point. It was a bit of a nerdgasm when we finally got it down. And we felt strong enough to move on. We killed him about 10 o'clock, wasn't it? So half 10 is our late finish. So we went on to face another boss.
But first we had half an hour of trash to get through.
We did, yeah. It's like anyone who's going to do this, and obviously the people who have done it already are going to know, it's like doing a five-man dungeon. It's just boring. There's nothing. None of them really do any damage. There's a cone attack on some of the trash, which seems to kill some of our players, which is good. But apart from that, they don't do any damage. You just got to just knock them down. But we did have a couple of goes on the council. And... Relic, how did that go?
To be honest, I can't remember. It was... By that point, I was knackered. I just remember this... I don't think I even properly listened to the tactics, to be quite honest with you.
Oh, thanks, dude. We appreciate that. Thank you.
I was so worn out by that point. I was fine. At the end of Garadon... at the end of Horadon, I was fine. But then after the trash, it's like, oh, I'm getting close to bedtime now. Because I'd been up since 4:45 that morning. It was okay. I think once we just get the taunts matched properly, and we just need to talk through it with fresh heads, I think, and we'll do it tomorrow night.
Yeah, we've got some discussion going on the forums as well, so hopefully we'll nail that one down.
Yeah. I mean, on LFI, it's a very straightforward fight. But, you know, we'll see how it plays out in normal mode. But I don't think it's going to be an issue, especially with the nerfs that came in last week or this week.
Yeah, certainly. There's a lot going on, though. There's so much going on. It's, yeah, a real clusterfuck of a fight.
Yeah, I'm hoping that it's just simply a smaller step up to Horridon that Horridon was to Jinrock in comparison. Because Horridon was a huge step up on difficulty.
Yeah.
Compared to Jinrock. For such an early boss in such a long raid tier, the step up should not have been that high for Horridon.
Yeah, we didn't even need to two-heal Horridon in the end either.
No.
As much as I wanted to. I still want to do it. Could try it next time.
Yeah, you and our shaman can do it. You'll have a good fun.
So we'll move on. I'm sure we could. There's a lot of girls out there have managed it with a Discrease and Holy Pally, obviously, because they're pretty overpowered at the moment in terms of healing. Much like Bloodspec DKs are way overpowered and need a big fat nerf. But I'm sure we'll see that. I'm sure we'll see that covered in the 5.3 patch notes at some point. We're going to put a nice bit of music onto the podcast just to announce it.
You put me crying on the back.
Yeah. And the I Told You So song. Excellent. So let's move on. We're going to move on to our race to world first. Now, it's been some very exciting news in this week. Relic, what has happened?
Method have done it.
Oh my God.
You know, my brain always said Method would get the full clear first, and they downed Raden on Thursday while we were raiding.
Wait, hang on. Before Paragon?
Yes. Paragon are still stuck on 12.
Oh. Okay.
So, there was a post on WoW Progress that Rignaros actually from Blood Legion linked to, because he put something on there that I'll talk about in a little bit. But there was Lappy from Paragon. I don't think he was complaining about not getting first, but there were other people comparing 10s to 25s, and he was having a bit of a whinge about that. But yeah, so as far as the race goes, Method are the first ones, world first and still world only, to get Raden down. I think they took 92 pulls all up, so they did it this week. They did it within two pulls, because they get 30 attempts per week, and they've been in there for 3 weeks and a bit.
Yeah.
So the second pull of the night downed them. I've listened to the Nerd Scream video that they put up on YouTube, and it is very, what's the word, anticlimactic. It's like, come on, kill him. Oh, he's easy boss. He's dead.
Easy? Oh, yeah. 92 pulls would suggest otherwise, wouldn't it?
Well, if you consider that it would have taken a lot more than that to get Lei Shen down.
Yeah.
You know, they
were
spending, 2 weeks on Lei Shen or something like that? And they would have been doing 6 hours a day on that. So, yeah. So, as far as the remaining guilds on 25s, we've got another 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Six and a bit guilds, because one of them is marked as 10 or 25. Don't know quite. One of the Russian guilds. They're at 12. Exodus, the merger between Vodka and Exodus, who are supposed to be the great guild giving everyone a run for their money, they're lagging behind at number 10. You finally got some alliance guilds in the top 10. Woo!
Yeah!
Yeah. So Midwinter and Scrubbusters I've not seen before recently, so I don't know if I'm lagging behind on that, but top five are Method, Dream Paragon, Blood Legion, Exorcist from Russia, and Envy. So I would not be surprised if Dream Paragon and Blood Legion got it in the next week.
Yeah.
Well, same for Exorcist, though, because they've improved immensely over the last tier or so. And Envy are always strong contenders.
Am I right thinking that it's more likely this stuff's going to go down from this point onwards, because the dailies on the island have now unlocked the legendary metagem, and that's quite a massive boost specifically for DPSs. I mean, I think their metagem is like 30% extra haste, and its uptime is like 30% of the time as well. So that's huge. That's pretty huge. So do you think that might have played into Method getting the kill this week?
I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, and, you know, the extra gear that they would have unlocked from the raid rep as well. You know, these guys doing heroic kills would have unlocked Exalted with those guys a while ago. I don't know. You can only assume so. But, I mean, if Raiden is not the real challenge that people were expecting after Lei Shen, then, you know, 90 pulls or so is about what you would expect for a heroic mode kill, I would imagine. End of tier. If you consider that Ragnaros took Paragon, what, 300 or 400 pulls to get him down? I think in the next week you're going to see Blood Legion and Exorcist are only a week behind Method, so you'll see something happening this week.
And obviously, in news next week, Harvest Moon would have cleared heroic mode.
Oh, yeah. Heroic mode, Dragon Soul. Yes!
Yeah, woo! A team of DKs.
Oh, did you see the video of the 25 DKs doing Heart of Fear?
I haven't yet. No, I have heard of this one. I need to watch it. I'm guessing it was easy.
They tried to do it on Heroic, but for some reason it kept bugging. Heart of Fear bugging. But I don't know what was happening, but they couldn't do it for some reason. So they just went through and did it in normal mode, found it quite simple. lots of mass reses. Lots of raid allies going on. But the way they do it, because this is Raegwen and his crew, or her crew. I don't know if she's got a YouTube channel, Raegwen Solo. She's the one that solos all the heroic mode bosses by herself, or by himself. So they get together cross-realm DK groups, basically, and they go through and solo heroic mode stuff. So it's lots of taunting back and forth to share the damage around. It's always good fun to watch.
But of course you don't need nerf.
No. It's funny, I posted that to Twitter and within like 30 seconds Melgum tweeted back to me saying, and DKs don't need a nerf. DKs aren't OP. I said, absolutely right, Mel. They're not. Perfectly balanced.
Right, so we've slightly derailed here. So let's get back onto the Race to World first with a question. So, you guys, so what do you think separates the EU guilds from the US ones? So obviously we don't have many US guilds in the top 10, top 20. I know your favourite guilds obviously in there, but what do you think separates the two? Why do we not see more American teams?
I don't know. To be quite honest with you, I don't know if it's a matter of culture, or is it a matter of being able to get more time off work? I don't know. You know, Europeans are, even if they're working full time, but they'll get 4 or 5 weeks holiday a year that they can spread out across tiers or whatever, whereas Americans get 2 weeks a year. I don't know. It's something that I've always wondered. I do think it comes down to focus and, I don't know. It could just be a completely different mentality when it comes to organised sports.
Yeah.
Could it just be pure numbers? Because I think I'm right in thinking that there are fewer players in the US than there is in Europe as a whole. So Europe have got, you know, a bigger pool to draw from. Especially when you include Russia within that as well.
Maybe, but then consider Dream Paragon, who only ever recruit Finnish-speaking people.
Yep, no, that's a good point.
You know, there's something there that's, you know, if they can start 12 hours behind but end up being a week or 2 weeks ahead, you know, you have to wonder what's happening there. What do you think,
Perhaps? I can't even imagine raiding 6 hours a day. The thought of that just it destroys me. It must be soul crushing. Yeah, it's an interesting question, and obviously, like we see this patch after patch, content after content. There's not many American guilds up there. I don't think that's going to change now. I think if it was going to, it would have by now. But yeah, it's what it is, I guess. I don't think there's any real reason behind it. Maybe Americans just prefer to play the game for fun. Who knows?
Yeah.
And with that, let's move on to the next section of our show, where we're going to talk about our pick of mod that we thought would be worthwhile putting in for the mod of the week section. So, Relic, I think it's over to you this week. What is the ReadyCheck mod of the week?
Mod of the week. This week is Big Wigs, which is a boss cooldown timer type thing, similar to DBM. People will know DBM. Big Wigs is not as popular, it seems. But the reason I switched to Big Wigs is because I was looking for an add-on that would automatically mark the ads that come down during Horridon.
Lazy.
Yeah. So I was tweeting back and forth with one of our guildies who makes add-ons. And he was going to have a look at it and check it out. And then he just tweeted me back saying, looks like someone's already made it. And it's an add-on to Big Wigs, which is for a Horridon marker. Because I used an add-on for DBM back during Dragon Soul. Dave will remember this, which was for Yorsage, which would give a raid warning for which blob to kill and what to do afterwards. So I was looking for something like that. So what this add-on, or add-on to the add-on does is automatically marks the ads as they come down. So one comes down, it automatically puts a circle on, then you say, okay, target the one that's marked, blah de blah. But what I like about Big Wigs is, since using it, the cooldown timers on the screen are much nicer looking. It also puts timers up for the major DPS healing cooldowns that people use. So you get bars across the top of your screen for if someone's used Rallying Cry or something like that, which is quite nice. So it's quite easy. If you don't want to use something like the Blood Legion cooldown add-on. But yeah, there's lots of nice little bars and stuff. It looks like it's quite extensible. There's plenty of libraries floating around for it. There's plenty of functionality built within it. So if you're looking for a change from DBM, and I was finding DBM a little bit spammy sometimes. I know this, you can turn off various bits, and maybe I'd move things around too much, because I was trying to adjust my bars, like the bars on the screen, to not crowd around my own UI too much. And maybe I screwed that up, who knows. But Big Wigs out of the packet is really nice. It just looks nicer. That's all I can say.
To be honest, I'm having one of these weeks almost where I'm looking at my UI and thinking something needs to change, and it normally ends up with me completely redoing the whole UI, and it's painful, and then my healing's not as good, and before Tobin gets in there, yes, it's already bad. but Big Wigs is one of these things that I'm always interested in, because I think it kind of it's like. It swings between them both, doesn't it? Sometimes DBM's better, sometimes Big Wigs is better. But I don't think you can have both running at the same time. I think that'd be too much. I'm actually quite tempted to try Big Wigs for a while. I think DBM's become a bit stale for me. I fancy a change. Tommy, what do you use at the moment?
I use DBM. Yep. I'm not happy about it, though. I used to use, back in Cataclysm and before, I used to use an add-on called Deus Fox Encounters, DX.
Oh, yeah.
And that was amazing. It did exactly everything that I wanted it to do. I could, you know, reset attempts, halfway through attempts, and all kinds of cool stuff. The bars looked really nice. It's just a shame it's not being updated anymore, because I really loved that add-on. Sounds were great. It looked nice. Really, really easy to see what was going on. So, yeah, I'm now using DBM because it syncs so well with LVI.
Yeah.
So that's really the only reason I'm stuck with it now.
That's fair. Yeah, I think I'm going to make the switch, and I'll let you guys know on the show next week what I actually think of that as well. Hopefully it's not going to be too much effort to put in. Okay.
You don't read the timers anyway, dude. I have to tell you everything that's going on in the fight.
That is a lie. That is a lie, ladies and gentlemen. is a disgusting, despicable lie there, Tobin.
Say that the countdown timers and Big Wigs are much more noticeable than the DBM ones, so that's why I'm calling out timers a bit more lately. It's like a huge fucking number.
Okay, and unfortunately, that brings us to the end of the show. So, got a couple of things I just want to mention at the end of this show this week. Number one, obviously our shows go up on iTunes. And obviously we're interested in five-star reviews. So if anybody gives us a five-star review, we will call your name out on our show.
That's how's that for a deal, ladies and gentlemen? You can't wait.
But no, seriously, any five-star reviews or any good reviews, any feedback or criticism even, if it's constructive criticism, we will try and read out towards the end of our shows.
Hi, welcome to Ready Check show number 20. We've still had no reviews. Could you please review us?
And a five-star review this week from Flaps. Thanks, Flaps.
No, I wouldn't give the show five stars. We've also got some guest hosts coming onto our show. I feel sorry for them already. But next week, so Ready Check episode number 7, we're going to have Godmother.
The Godmother. Herself.
The Godmother.
Captain of Team Faf. So she's someone that I talk to on Twitter quite a lot. She's at Alternative Chat on Twitter. She's a GM of a guild much like our own. I think during T14, progression-wise, they were much the same as us. I'm not sure what they're doing at the moment. But she's a great writer. She writes about WoW a lot. She has a lot to say about guild stuff, so it's going to be really good to have her on the show.
Brilliant. No, I look forward to it. And if anybody else is interested in coming on to our show and talking rubbish with us, talking about all things WoW and talking about how to run guilds and obviously everyday problems that you see when you're running these guilds as well. I mean, we don't get it right sometimes. You know, we got our own tactics of doing this. Maybe you disagree a bit. I say we don't get it right. Obviously, I'm not on the officer team. So it's actually Relic and Toman who don't get it right. So if you don't think any of this is going right, then you can always email in at mailbag@readycheck.co.uk or get in contact with us on Twitter, which the tag is ready_check. Cool. So anything else to add, guys?
Nope.
No.
No? Excellent. So thanks for joining us this week for Ready Check episode number 6, and join us next week for episode number 7. Thank you. Goodbye.
Cheerio.
Bye.